I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
School of Humans.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Cadaver Gals. This is the podcast. Yes, I am sure you know and have heard of us because we are famous. Anyway, that this is a podcast where we kind of talk about people's deaths to cope with our own mortality. Super, super fun. Does not work. Do you guys know that some Olive Garden waiters or servers, they say, instead of saying soup or salad, they say salad or soup because they're so fucking over people saying soup or salad? Anyway, I was on a TikTok binge last night and I saw that. I'm your host, Nika, along with Taylor.
Hi.
And Gabby.
I'm sorry, I was thrown off by the Olive Garden comment, but hello.
I'm like, my ADHD is a little rampant today. On today's show, we're going to explore just how dangerous quicksand is and just how dangerous Mormons are. Wow, quicksand wow. And Mormons. It's like a great horror movie. I love it already. Today's trigger warnings are religious fanaticism, being bludgeoned, drowning, suffocation.
No.
Thank you. Guns, execution. I think that's about it.
That's yeah. It? Wow.
That's it. That is it. Just a real light, you know, morning podcast. Cue alligator music. Cadaver Gals. Okay, Taylor. It's quicksand time. It's sandy time. Sandy from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Let's do it. You know, I really want to go to the beach right now.
Let's go. Let's stop doing this episode and just go to the beach.
Now. Okay,
Gabby. No, but okay. Let's continue.
Why, you have things to do?
I do. I'm like a businesswoman.
Oh.
That's true.
Nika's got a new haircut.
Business haircut.
I know. I feel very executive.
Okay, great. So, let's hear Texas. We're going there. There's this fella. His name is Jose Ray Escobedo. He loved nature. He would often go to the San Antonio River and he would swim.
This sounds like a Tinder profile.
Well, yeah. And it also like... Swimming in a river sounds really disgusting to me.
I do not like that. I don't like rivers and I don't like lakes, okay? There's too many things that we do not understand.
Yeah.
No, rivers are better, though, because it's moving water, so it should be pretty safe, right? But then a lake, Lake, yes. That's more stagnant. I wouldn't trust a lake.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, yes. It's true. Also, I tell that story about Lake Lanier to everyone. Like, the moment lakes come up, I'm like, did you know? And then we talk about bloated bodies.
So I started to go down that rabbit hole, and I was like, that is not what this is about. Not about how clean rivers are versus lakes and whatnot. Track. So I was like, I'm going to stay on track. So back to Jose. He went to the store, picked up his prescription. This was in July. And then he just like went MIA. His family reported him missing, and he just like disappeared without a trace. No one had seen him for 3 days.
Was this in like current times?
Yes. This was 2015 or 2018. I forget. And so on the third day, someone reported that there was a blue car that was parked for a few days under an overpass. And this was Jose's car. So they call a helicopter. They do a search, find nothing. So the next day they went to the river to do the search, which after a couple of hours, they find Jose stuck from like the hips down in quicksand-like substance. And then it appeared that he had like collapsed face down in the quicksand. No evidence of foul play or anything. After an autopsy, they determined that he had drowned. So presumably he'd gotten trapped in like the clay, sand, water mixture and became exhausted trying to escape, fell face first, which is where he met his demise.
So he went river swimming and yes. And that was near, I guess he would park under the overpass and then got trapped in the quicksand.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You got it. You listened to my story really well.
You know, wait, I'm let me do it.
To be present.
Let me do it. Okay, yeah. So he parked under the overpass and then he was swimming in the river and then he got stuck in the quicksand. Is it quicksand? What is quicksand?
So quicksand is just clay, sand, and water mixture. It's not exactly what we like thought of when we were kids. Like, I don't know why we were really concerned about it, but
it's not like a living monster.
Right. Exactly. So
confused.
So it's actually like kind of rare, but there was this other instance that I found where at first I was like, is this real? Is this not real? But there were like very few sources, but I eventually got to the real tea.
Journalism.
Yes. So
that's what journalism is. The tea.
Exactly. So there was this video that was swirling around the internet of a man who was like doing this, allegedly, I guess, was doing this video tutorial, I'm air quoting, on how to escape quicksand. Like, that's like, that was the idea when it was like swirling around. And so I found the video, started watching it. It was very uncomfy. It was 7 minutes long. And so
you watched a 7 minute video. I can only do like 45 seconds.
No, I got impatient and I started skipping.
Wait, why was it uncomfy?
Okay, so there was this man and he was in a blue swimsuit and he just like pencil jumps into this like quicksand like substance. And so he's like trying to wiggle himself free, but just like keep sinking more and more and more and more until he's basically submerged. And he's like trying to wipe the quicksand from his mouth to breathe. And like the video then just like cuts off. So everybody's like, oh my God, this man just filmed his death. And it kind of looks that way. It was like really suspicious and scary. And it's like clearly an old video, like the quality is not great. Couldn't figure out when exactly it was made. But anyway, so in 2010, this same fellow reappeared creating more content. And here is what he said. I now have a new waterproof digital camera. That means that I am now back in the business in terms of taking videos of me sinking. I created an obscure YouTube account and have begun uploading videos to it set as unlisted so it doesn't show up anywhere. Unfortunately, I live and help out my parents on a farm who don't know what I am into and only know that I enjoy cycling and hiking in the backcountry. So apparently there's this like fetish out there called like quicksand porn, where people fetishize bodies basically being consumed in sticky ooey gooey mud. Nika's into it, so okay. So even further, though,
it's very specific.
Is very specific, and people will actually go out into nature and submerge themselves in mud, and those people are called sinkers. So
sinkers,
yes. So I'm like, I went down such a rabbit hole yesterday, and I was like, what is going on?
So you mean you watched a bunch of porn?
No, I actually didn't. I was kind of...
It's for the podcast,
it's
okay?
It's for the show. It's research.
No, I didn't actually, but there is a Vice documentary, or like a Vice episode, specifically about this. So I watched 50%, 75% of that journalism. So anyway, so this whole thing... started basically in the 60s in Hollywood. There were so many movies with quicksand scenes. It started with the 1945 iteration of Tarzan, where there is a scene where Tarzan rescues Jane from the quicksand. He's like up in the tree, pulls her out with a rope, and so many people found this arousing. So like after that, it was like the cool thing to do to have quicksand in movies. And it then kind of like began this trope. And that is kind of why it was like popularized, because people were fetishizing.
Lots of sexual awakenings.
Wow. Yeah. So in this Vice episode, they say that 1 in 35 films had quicksand scene in it at its peak popularity. Like it even made it into Princess Bride that was like kind of, you know, making fun of the trope. So now it's like this funny thing.
That is a lot. And I actually remember that scene from The Princess Bride. Also, yeah. Do you guys remember George of the Jungle?
Yeah.
Did anyone ever watch that? Okay, I think they had quicksand too. Also, he was really hot.
So like, yeah, people will go out there. They're out there. There's like also, there's specific websites dedicated to this. And there was this like, and so in the Vice documentary, it was like showing, or episode, it was showing like these guys who they specifically make sinking videos of people, and like it's this whole thing, and they can also, you can also like rent out a quicksand little vat, if you will.
A vat? Oh, like a big thing full of quicksand?
Yeah, so that you can whatever, do whatever, you know, sink or I don't know, make videos. So yeah, it's just like this whole, this pop culture thing that happened in a time, and then we were all afraid of it because it became this like trope, but really, you know, it's not that common, and we all thought it was gonna be like this huge deal, and it's just not. It's really strange.
Right. Where did you find, out of curiosity, where did you find these videos, Taylor?
So, okay.
Could you just like send me some links just out of like pure for research, so, for post research?
Well, okay. I was looking up, has anybody died from drowning in or being sucked into quicksand? And all of these other things start popping up. What?
Gotcha.
It was like, it's really obvious
that it's like porn.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's like when we did the horse fucking episode.
Right.
When I Googled bestiality, the first things that come up, I just was trying to look up like the Wikipedia page, but most of it was like porn sites. And I was like, wow.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. And so another thing, one thing that I actually found really interesting was that a lot of people who do the sinkers, they find it really comforting. And it's like kind of, they were comparing it to furries, of how it's like comforting to like be surrounded by something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or well, like a weighted blanket, but it's a...
Yeah.
They should make like a snuggie that's quicksand.
Oh my
like
God.
A big sun, like a sand box, but it's like in a sleeping bag.
I will say, I got a pedicure a couple weeks ago, and I you know, they give you the menu.
Yes.
And I saw this jelly thing.
I've done
I was
that.
Like,
yes.
I was like, what is that? And so I was like, why not? Like, I was like, treat yourself. And it was nice. I
yes.
liked it.
Your foot is like totally encased in that jelly. It feels nice. It does feel really nice.
Anyway.
Thank you, Taylor, so much for giving us all of this information about these tragic deaths. Or death. Yeah, it was only one death, I guess.
The guy didn't die. Like, everybody thought he did. And then... turns out he just like pops back up and he's like, got me a better camera.
Well, thank you, Taylor. We will be right back.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi, we are back. Our conversations in the commercials are just disgusting. Okay, as Taylor mentioned,
you can hear them on Patreon with a $5 support level.
Okay, so as Taylor mentioned, I also grew up worried about quicksand. Okay, I was concerned. I was wondering when I was gonna have kind of my big Indiana Jones moment, and to this day, I have actually never seen quicksand in the flesh. Like, I honestly didn't know what it looked like until I saw these videos. Yeah.
Maybe you don't go on enough adventures. I feel like you need an adventure for the quicksand. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I guess I need a match with a guy on Tinder that's like, I love to adventure.
I love adventures, beer, and the office.
Okay.
I am a CEO of my own company,
absolutely,
which is Lyft.
Or I work at a startup or something like that.
Entrepreneur.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Hate it when they have entrepreneur there. Okay. However, quicksand is an element of nature and it is still out there, so we have to be mindful. Maybe you, listener, you know, have anxiety over this phenomenon. Well, I am here to quell your fears and your worries. I technically did not figure it out, but a scientist did, and now I get to explain his science badly. Very excited about it. So this guy's name, And I feel like one time I was called out because I said he when I was referring to scientists and like in the plural. And then people were like, scientists can be women too. And like, I know that. So I made sure to find out what pronouns this person uses. And they are he, him. His name is Daniel. His name is Daniel Bonn. He is a professor at the University of Amsterdam. And he was visiting Iran when he saw like a bunch of warning signs near a lake that explained the dangers of quicksand. Okay. And quicksand, I mean, I think as Taylor explained, it's really just wet sand. And when the sand is too wet, what happens, science, is there's very little friction between them, which causes the sand to not be able to support any weight. It's normally found in rivers, as Taylor's story explained, and can also sometimes happen after an earthquake because water is released from like underground reservoirs, which honestly is kind of scary.
Can I just say, when I was a kid, I legitimately thought you'd be like walking down like in the jungle, as we find ourselves in the jungle, and then all of a sudden you'd be walking thinking that it was ground, but then it was just sand and then you'd get sucked in.
Well, but here's my question. Is it that quicksand is not, you know, that popular out there and we were tricked? Or is it that we honestly just don't walk around in the jungle enough?
No, it's just that's what we thought it was, but that's not what it is.
But if you're like in a jungle near a river, that actually could be a big possibility.
Yeah, but I thought it was like literally like in the randomly just like, be walking down the, you know.
Or like randomly walking in a desert. But then again, why did I think in my adult life that I was going to be walking around the desert all the time?
Exactly, same. Like, I was really worried though.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that.
Our lives are just not as good as we thought they were going to be. I thought I was going to be in the desert.
I mean, honestly.
Cosplaying anyway. As a cacti, anyway.
That reminds me of another fetish of people who, like, just want to be objects. Okay.
Moving on.
Okay. I have some links for that, too. Okay, so he talked to some locals about these signs, these warning signs, and he found out that they were all super cautious and scared of quicksand because apparently there was a lot of quicksand in the area. So he was like, I'm going to take a sample. I was about to do an accent, but there's no way I'm doing an accent today. No. Nope. He went back to the Netherlands, and he replicated the composition of his sample, ready to experiment with quicksand and see how dangerous it really is. Spoiler alert, it is actually not that bad. But it is impressive, okay? I will say that. So the sand cannot hold any weight at all. And when an object is introduced on top of it, he mentions it's kind of like toppling like a stack of oranges. So the moment that something sits on top of it, it creates downward momentum that can be really hard to stop. If you're like halfway into quicksand and the force is still pulling you down, trying to get a foot out would require the strength needed to lift a medium-sized car, which is pretty bananas. That is intense. So that's impressive in a way. However, staying still and just kind of waiting things out is usually what works. So what you do is you allow the particles to settle, and then buoyancy rises you to the top of the sand. And that's it. And that's like you just get rearranged. So the only human danger...
You get rearranged. That's a great phrase.
Yeah, all of your atoms get rearranged and you become a... I don't know. What would be a sand creature?
The Sandman.
Sandman.
Yeah. That's like a real creature.
Or is that the thing in that one terrible Spider-Man movie?
I think so. Also, there is that song that's Mr. Sandman, bring me a day, you know?
Nika, you can't sing like that song. We don't have the rights to it. We're going to get sued. Cease and desist.
They're going to like shoot me from like the sharpshooters that they have around. Yes. Okay. Ooh. I was just thinking about executions because of the next tangent. Anyway, yes, you do. You get rearranged, okay? And you don't become a sand creature. You stay your normal self. You just get floated up to the top because of science.
Yeah, okay, all the way to space.
Okay. You're less dense.
Exactly. Thank you, Taylor. Also,
oh my God, do you lose weight when you're in quicksand?
Stop.
New diet.
No. The only human danger that he mentioned is that if someone gets stuck in front of a body of water, which it happens a lot because there's a lot of quicksand in front of bodies of water during high tide, then they can drown because they cannot move, which I'm sure is probably what happened to the last guy.
Yes.
I watched this video where this British guy, not a sexy video, which kind of makes me sound like, what the fuck? Where are the sexy videos? Okay. Where this guy, this British guy, not sexy, he
British
visited
guy
this,
is not sexy.
Yeah. He visited this place full of quicksand areas, and his whole thing was like, okay, can you get out a quick sandwich? I'm going to get in and find out. And wow. And the
remember
way-
when you called us xenophobic last okay. episode for doing British accents? And then you're also like, yeah, they're all disgusting and here's an accent.
Yep. Hey, I never said they were all disgusting. I said he specifically, I was not attracted to. Okay.
But you general okay.
There are a lot of British guys that are hot. I don't want to hear that. And also, the accent, is it a little bit like I added more inflections, maybe, but honestly, fucking look up this video. He actually sounds like that, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry, you were doing it for accuracy, my bad. I was calling you out before I realized you were embodying him.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. So he did that and they literally it was just funny because they had to make like quicksand look terrifying. And so they did like a lot of jump cuts and quick zoom ins. And at one point he grabs the quicksand and throws it on the ground. And then they do like rock music in the middle of it, which I thought was hilarious and was delightful. But it is pretty scary though, because he was sinking and he said that he couldn't move his legs at all. And it took only eight minutes for him to sink to his waist, which was kind of scary.
I feel like it should be called like kind of quicksand or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Slow sand.
Medium paced. Sand.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, honestly, I don't think we have anything really to worry about necessarily. It's just a patience, you know, a waiting game. I think Virgos would have a great time with quicksand because they tend to be more patient. I think Aries and Gemini, y'all are goners. I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, yeah. Could you just keep going down forever though?
No. You know? No, because your body is less dense than the sand. That's correct, right, Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I was reading to the another way to kind
of. What if you got a fat ass?
But your lungs, it's because of your lungs. So your lungs have more air, you know, because that's how you breathe. Well, if you, yeah, give me.
But yeah, I can tell you about something. I can talk about something else.
Please, quickly. Current. Thank you.
Quickly, slow sand. Okay, well, Mormons, we're talking about them. So let's start at the beginning. Okay, Mormons, they were doing stuff. If you recall, back in the 19th century, that's when they kind of started getting going. This dude, Joseph Smith, was like, Mormons. And they're like, yes, queen, we're Mormons now. And they...
Why? Like, I don't... Why does someone just sit down and are like, I want to create a whole new culture?
Why are y'all making me laugh so hard today?
Here's
we're
the
fucking
thing.
Funny, Taylor.
I don't know why I started with this because I honestly didn't really research anything about the origins of Mormonism. Just at some point, they all went to what is now Utah because they got kicked out of other places because they were a little violent and, you know, they hated. They thought they were other people. They were like, we are not Americans, and they just hated Americans.
Oh. So they went to Utah. Classic.
So they went to Utah, the territory of Utah.
Utah's supposed to be really pretty.
Yes, and you can have as many wives as you desire there at this time if you were a Mormon and not adhering to the laws of the United States of America. So,
is it illegal to have multiple wives under the U.S. government?
Yes.
What?
You can only legally marry one person.
Okay, I'm not a Mormon, but that's kind of dumb.
Well, that's the next thing, you know, that's the slippery slope of gay marriage. Soon people are just going to be marrying, you know, many people and horses.
Right, right, right.
So
Taylor wishes. It was horses. There. I had to do it.
Okay. Gabby, keep going.
Okay, so let's forget the origin story of Mormonism and let's skip forward a little bit to 1857. Okay, at this point, the governor of Utah, because it's just basically a theocracy, is Brigham Young, and he was a zany dude.
Okay.
He said lots of crazy things. He was the one who said, he talked about blood atonement. He was saying that there's certain crimes that are too bad that the blood of Christ cannot atone for your sins. So basically what you have to do, there'd be, and you know, it was terrible things like, you know, killing somebody else, hurting children, or having an interracial marriage.
What?
To which he proposed only way to escape that sin and, you know, get to the beyond. The blood atonement was like, if you committed any of these sins, you needed to willingly spill your own blood and die in order to get to the kingdom
Makes
of God
sense.
Or whatever the fuck.
So not just self-harm or like lash yourself like some Catholics, but actually murder, like kill your murder self.
And literally spilling blood. So like he supported capital punishment in that regard of like, and that is why he did, I think very briefly, a approved capital punishment was beheading.
Oh.
And then also Nika's going to be talking more about firing squads, but firing squads was another one that was popular because that's like, those are the very bloody deaths, you know, like other deaths less bloody, but you literally needed to spill your blood.
That's just...
And yeah, especially for interracial marriage, he was saying that you need to be beheaded and you also need your children to be beheaded. If you have any children.
Laughed because it's so fucking crazy that anyone would ever say that. But I do want to say that like that is extremely fucked up and absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And
also,
and with the blood atonement, they say like it was never actually practiced, but there are like a couple instances where it was like this might have been blood atonement. But I think it was just, you know, racism. That was probably more accurate to describe it.
Disguised as like trying to save your soul. Stupid.
Insane. Yeah. Were they actually doing it?
No, there's no like proven blood atonement. Boom. But this was just like created sort of this very violent sort of hysterical atmosphere in Utah. So in 1857, what was happening was... the U.S. Army was supposedly headed towards Utah to basically usurp Brigham Young as the governor because they really didn't approve of, you know, polygamy and stuff like that. And it was just a lot of things were going on for the Utah people because the U.S. Army might have been coming. Also, one of their apostles had just been murdered in Arkansas. And then also, you know, he had 20 wives. So, you know, ladies lots be shopping. So you have to, that's probably stressful to have that many wives.
Yeah.
Maybe more than 50 children. That's a lot. He had a lot on his plate, you know. So they were just like, there was just this atmosphere of like, they hated the Americans. And they're just like, we fucking, like, we can't trust anybody. Like, if anyone comes through Utah, like, they have to have like a pass and they have to like, you don't trade with outsiders. They just like hated everyone because they thought they were under siege from like all sides and everyone. But they did have like kind of an interesting relationship with the Native Americans in that area. They were the Paiutes. And so they kind of, I feel like they had a very like us versus them sort of thing with the Native Americans where they're like, here, we have to band together to kind of fight the Americans and any other like immigrants who are going to be trying to come through Utah. So they kind of like they would trade and I don't know. It was like a complicated relationship. But so what happens, though, is there is this caravan that's coming through Utah. It's coming from Arkansas and it's about somewhere between 100 and 200 people. And they're trying to get to California because obviously you want to leave Arkansas. Who needs a reason? You know, California, they're just like, ah, yes, beautiful land. We can go there. And at this point, everyone in America is kind of like, or whatever we conceptualize as America. At that point, people were just like, yeah, we want big spaces and we want room and shit. So everyone was like moving out west. And so that's what they were trying to do. So they're just this caravan that was going through. And unfortunately, they're coming through right when there's all this kind of like hysteria that's going on in Utah amongst the Mormons who are just like, everyone's trying to attack us. And there's all these rumors that are starting that are like, oh, all these people, they're like poisoning our wells and they're like stealing our food. And they're just like all these Arkansas people suck and all this. But historians have like, there is no evidence to say that they were being like antagonistic at all towards the Mormons. And there's this guy named John Lee, and he was part of the Danites, which was kind of like a very aggressive, violent, secret sect of the Mormons who kind of were there to protect Mormons. And he also, like, he was the head of a militia that was kind of in this area that the caravan was going through. So the caravan in, I think it's like in September, they set off in April of 1857. They go to, you know, they're traveling basically 1500 miles. They go through Salt Lake City. It's September. And then they go by this creek called Mountain Meadows.
Something bad's going to happen.
Yeah. And there's a valley there. And at this point, no one really knows exactly why this happened. But John Lee, he teamed up with some of the Paiutes. And they attacked the caravan. And also, it was mostly the white Mormons, but they disguised themselves as Native Americans so that the Arkansas caravan wouldn't know that it was like the Mormons. So they attacked, and they started for a couple of days. They were just shooting them and killing people. And then the caravan, what they did is they like kind of got in a circle to like kind of block the siege, and they were like kind of like fighting back. And then John Lee was like, well, guys, okay, they might figure out that we're actually just Mormons, and then they're going to fucking tell the U.S. Army and like the president, and they're going to come get us. So we need to kill all of them. Obviously, we need everyone to be dead.
Gosh.
Yeah. And so, you know, they get out of their Native American garb and they go into the encampment with like a white flag being like, hey, here, it's us, the Mormons. We've come here to help you and save you. If you give us all of your cattle and all of your belongings, and we'll escort you to
safety. And use the Native Americans as like the blame.
Yep.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay. Yep. That tracks.
Yeah. So they're saying, yeah, the Native Americans, they're attacking you. It's not us. We're, it's the like, Indians. Wow. It's not
aren't
us.
Aren't they
okay?
crazy?
Aren't they crazy? What and the so, fuck? But they're like, yeah, we'll escort you if you just give us all your stuff. And so they're like, okay, that's fine because, you know, everyone's injured and we're having a bad time. And so they separate the women and children from the men. And then the women and children are escorted in the caravan over out of the valley. And once they get out of the valley, there's all these people there, all these Mormons who then slaughter them all, kill them with, they shoot them and they bludgeon them and stab them. And then all.
I'm so sorry. I thought that when they were like white flagging, they meant it. Like they were actually white. Okay.
Nope. Wow. Nope. Because they needed to kill them all, so they wouldn't tell the U.S. Army.
That's not honorable.
And then all the men who were there, it was John Lee or it was someone else said, do your duty, and they shot all the men in the head for the most part. Okay. So 120 people were killed, and this was on September 11th.
Wow.
Woo! The first September 11th. So, I mean, this is a pretty bleak story. It is called the Mountain Meadows Massacre.
How did it come out? Like, who told the story, I guess, if no one survived?
Well, what they did, so they killed probably like a dozen women, and they said 36 children, and the rest were men that they killed. But they didn't kill 17 kids who looked like they were under the age of 5-ish, so that because they wouldn't remember. And then weirdly, those kids were then sent to live with some of the people who had like participated in the slaughter. And then they were eventually sent back to their families. But I mean, some of them did remember. But at first, yeah, I mean, they... Like, people heard about it, and at first they were like, no, the Native Americans did it, okay? But then the U.S. Army did come, but a year later, and they kind of did an investigation, and then the Mormons were like, hey, actually, it was John Lee. It was all him. He did it all. He, like, led the militia. It's his fault. So John Lee, he goes through two trials. They got a little postponed because of the Civil War, and in the second trial in 1877, they sentenced him to death, and he was just like, bros, you're scapegoating me. Like, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. And he, like, even wrote down that Brigham Young, you know, the Blood Atonement dude who was the governor at the time, he actually gave a direct order to him to lead this militia and kill all these people. So,
okay.
And there's been, like, in the past, like, 30 years, there's been, like, multiple books of which people have written about, like, who's kind of to blame. Like, it definitely seems it was just, like, a very, people say hysterical. It was just, like, a hysterical period in Utah just because they thought they were being attacked all the time. So they're just like, if anyone's coming through our space, we gotta fucking kill them. And also, these people were from Arkansas, and there was even like a rumor planted where they're just like, actually one of the people in that caravan killed our apostle. And so there was just like all this shit that wasn't true, and it was just kind of like, it's spiraled very badly out of control.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so.
Yeah. And so John Lee, he gets sentenced to firing squad, and his last words were, let them shoot the balls through my heart. Don't let them mangle my body. So, you know.
Okay.
Well. Body positivity. I don't know.
Okay. That's dramatic, John Lee. Okay.
Yeah. They had blamed him, but then in like, I think it was, 1961, the Latter-day Saints, like the higher-ups were like, hey, well, actually John Lee, because he had been ousted from the church. They're like, actually, we're going to reinstate him as a member of the church. And actually, we're just going to say, you know, we kind of did it, just like the Mormons kind of did it. It wasn't just him. And there's been like more historians recently who have also placed blame on Brigham Young, that he either contributed to this like violent atmosphere, or he like literally told people to kill all these people in this caravan. So that is the fun story.
That's messed up. This is for lack of a better phrase.
That is the massacre at Mountain Meadows in 1857, September 11th. So very sad, and there is literally no reason for these people to be killed.
That is so messed up, and it's just going to get more messed up. So okay. We'll be right back, I guess.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome back. Utah's crazy.
Good thesis.
Thank you. Isn't Utah bananas? Wow. This is a great tangent because I'm also talking about something that's happening in Utah. Yay. And it's pretty barbaric. So yes, we're excited. So apparently, pharmaceutical companies are making it more difficult for states to use their products as lethal injections. And so because of that, some states who have the death penalty have turned to other methods of execution.
Where's this going?
Yeah, this isn't going anywhere good.
That's big Dora Explorer energies. Can you guess where this is going?
Bad places. Yes. It's going to the bad place.
So, also, one more thing. I found out that some states try to get their lethal injection drugs through something called the gray market, which I found hilarious and horrible because it's like, it's not the black market. It's not the white market, which is like, you know, legal under the economy, but no, it's the gray market. I don't know. I'm just tickled by the fact that that exists.
Okay. So funny.
Tickle.
I thought it was pretty funny. Also, how do you even get into the black market? I've always wanted to know. And then I know someone who actually used to surf the deep web in the black market, and they're literally like, don't ever do it. Like, you're not. It's like, it just stays in your brain. Don't do it.
Is it just like www.blackmarket.com?
I don't know. I literally don't know how to enter into it.
I think you have to darkweb.org.
Yeah. I do want to have like a hacker friend because I want to know what like my friends want for like Christmas and their birthdays and stuff. And I know people keep like lists of that on Instagram and Pinterest and shit like that. But that's the only really real
that's why you want to
hack into the black market.
Right. You could also just ask your friends.
Okay, but then what's the surprise? Okay, anyway. Yeah, so the gray market, fun. And honestly, researching for this specific part of the show felt hella dystopian. Like, it was really weird. So 8 states still do the electric chair, which is death by electrocution. And then many do gas chambers.
What?
And yeah.
They still do all these things?
Yeah. So they'll drop a pill into a, like, closed room and then choke somebody to death. And then some of the gas chamber states have also been like, the gas chamber is too much and it's costing us too much money. Let's do gas masks. So they'll have like the person put on a mask and then have the gas just enter into the mask and that's how they choke to death.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is all like hella barbaric and I don't understand. Anyway, but apparently it's also really hard to get lethal gas according to Oklahoma because they've been trying to get some lethal gas.
I'm trying to get that on
their hands.
That gas.
Okay, yep. That is funny, too, because weed is legal now in Oklahoma. Okay, so Utah's governor. Utah's been on some weird governors. Like, okay, so Utah's governor was like, hey, we definitely need a backup method for killing people if we can't do the lethal drugs. And this, we still have to kill people. Like, the death penalty still needs to continue. So let's reinstate firing squads.
Oh.
And that's exactly what he did.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So there have been 3 executions through firing squad in the state. Some other states, I think, also allow firing squads, like South Carolina, but Utah's the only one that has actually done it. The most recent one was in 2010, and it seems like there might be another coming up. This man, he killed a woman and then did a written confession in 1985, but later he said that he was coerced, and he's tried to appeal his trial multiple times. There were 2 witnesses who claimed that he was the one who killed this woman. So they used them as witnesses, obviously. But right after they testified, they, like, disappeared, basically. And so they ended up, in every appeal, they ended up using their initial statement, like, these 2 witnesses, despite them, like, not being there to corroborate it anymore. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, in 2019, he appealed his case again. And this time, the witnesses who had been who knows where, they, like, came back to the city and they were like, police back in the day paid our rent and bought us groceries and gifts for the testimony.
What?
I know. It's crazy. So now it looks like his case is being reviewed, but he was, like, about to be put, like, under the lethal injection. Like, that was about to happen, or the firing squad. Because what happens is if they cannot get the drugs for the lethal injection within 30 days of when the date for the death is supposed to happen, even though the prisoner didn't ask for it, they still have to – they use firing squad just, like, as a backup, I guess, which is pretty bananas.
That's crazy. I didn't know they still did stuff like that. Like,
they do.
I'm dumb. Yeah. I didn't
– yeah. No, you're not dumb. I just – it's not, like, very talked about, I guess. Okay. Also, I really –
also, you just don't want to think that you live in a society that does that kind
exactly.
of stuff.
Exactly. There we go. That's what it is.
Here we are.
Exactly. Very dystopian. Also, I – shuddered. So, okay, first of all, his case was mishandled and now it's like we don't know, and he almost died. Like, he was almost killed. He didn't just die. Okay, but that's aside from the point, which is fucking crazy. But also, I really shuddered at the way this is handled, because the way firing squads are, it's basically a chair with a strap on like the head and the body. And there's sandbags all around just in case like a bullet goes weird or they miss aim or whatever. And so there's sandbags and they put a bag over the person's head. And then they have like, I mean, it's just disgusting. And then I did not know this. They, the sharpshooters are actually volunteers from either the corrections facility or law enforcement.
That's,
yeah. And they have to have 5 volunteers and the volunteers stand in front of the chair and 4 of them have ammunition and 1 has a blank. Apparently the blank encourages psychological deniability within the shooters.
What?
So they don't know who gets which gun.
Oh my
they
just, God.
Yes, they don't know. Hand. Yes, but they still volunteer for it. And then I read about this one guy who was interviewed in the last firing squad killing that happened in 2010, where basically he was like, there were 5 people prepared to like do it. And then there were also 3 other people on the sidelines who had volunteered just in case the other 5 like got cold feet. No one got cold feet, by the way. But like there were 3 other people who were like, oh yeah, I'll come and be the backup. Okay. And
they asked, feet would be cold as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they asked him, they were like, why would you volunteer for this? And then he literally quoted.
I don't know if I want to know.
No, listen. He said he wants to be a part of 100% justice and that, quote, some people just need to be kicked off the planet.
Wow. Okay. What a guy.
What a guy.
Well, what if another execution method is shooting people into space?
Yeah. Elon Musk.
Elon.
An Jeff idea. Bezos.
That's when you're canonized.
Yeah, that would be when you're canonized.
The space cannon exactly. Execution.
Love that. That one sounds more fun. Well, that is what I learned about you, Tom, and about executions. That was where my head went. Yes. Yesterday, my research was like, Vor, which was basically just mangas of like women opening their mouth and like eating like furry humanoids, and then and quicksand, and then execution
firing
time.
Squad.
Great stuff. Yeah. Great death stuff. Penalty. Death penalty. Reddit.
Well, it sounds like you need to relax, Nika. Nika rhyming with pika.
Yeah,
as we've established from the last episode, said.
We said we pika. Were pronouncing pika. Which is dominant, annoying, and thank you for correcting us, sweet listener.
But we're the Pika Powder Puff Girls. Don't worry, Taylor, you need to make a massive pronunciation mistake.
Okay, yeah, what are we going to get wrong this time?
What are we going to get? Yes, queens. I don't know.
It's like quicksand.
Quicksand.
Quicksand. Y'all heard of quicksand? Well, thank you for listening, despite us being silly and sometimes inaccurate. See you next week. Bye.
Cadaver Gals.
Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. It is written, etc., produced, all that good stuff by Taylor Church, Gabby Watts, and Nika Duarte. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Cadaver Gals, where we post selfies of us crying and memes. See you next week.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development,
and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.